Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy. So go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
Sergeant and Mrs. Smith, you're going to love this house.
Is that a tub in the kitchen?
There's no field manual for finding the right home. But when you do, USAA Homeowners Insurance can help protect it the right way. Restrictions apply.
Hello, beautiful people. Welcome to The Art of Kindness, where we have compassionate conversations with artists from all areas of the entertainment industry who are using their voice to spread joy and make this big spinning planet in the universe a better place to be. I'm Robert Peter Paul, and I'm so glad you're here! Hello, friends! Happy New Year! I hope that your year is off to a sensational start already. Over here in this household, we're solely aiming to leave the holiday station and get back onto that routine train. Chugga 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 choo choo! All aboard! It's tough. But we're trying to give ourselves grace and release any pressures of New Year's resolutions. Ooh, it's a day-by-day journey. But I'll ramble on more about that in our kindness tip portion, so please stay tuned after the interview. All in all, I gotta say, being back here with you is electric! Boogie woogie woogie! It feels like a bolt of lightning! And speaking of lightning, we're traveling to Olympus to speak with today's guest, Percy Jackson and the Olympian star, Aryan Simhadri. Aryan Simhadri is a performer with credits spanning stage and screen. A California native, the talent has been seen in films like Netflix and WWE's The Main Event, and television series such as NBC's Will and Grace. The Big Mouse loves Aryan. I love him. Sorry. He's been a part of many Disney projects over the years, recently including the Disney Plus reboot of Cheaper by the Dozen alongside Zach Braff and Gabrielle Union, and Spin, the first Disney Channel original movie, let's watch a Disney Channel movie, to feature a Southeast Asian Indian lead cast. Aryan also starred in a filmed version of the off-Broadway production of Trevor the Musical, which was later released on Disney+. He got to flex his improv skills when he was cast on Disney's Just Roll With It, and has carved out a vibrant voiceover career, with credits like Disney's Mira the Royal Detective. While we're on the Disney monorail here, we should probably park to talk about Aryan's biggest role to date. He plays the iconic role of Grover in the Disney Plus series Percy Jackson and the Olympians, based on the incredibly popular Percy Jackson novels by Rick Riordan, which I used to devour growing up. I used to read them under the covers. I love them all. Grover is considered the empathetic heart of the series, making him a wonderful character to dissect here on the AOK. Talking with him was so much fun. I am elated to be here with you all. I'm so excited. I didn't say y'all. Starting the year on not a Southern note. I'm not even from the South. I just say y'all all the time because I love Dolly Parton. I'll probably say it again in this interview. Anyway, y'all, see, there I go. I would really love if we could start the year on a high by getting some 5-star reviews wherever we listen to podcasts. That would be wonderful. So if you feel so inclined, I would really appreciate if you just took the extra moment to give us a little review here or share the show with a friend. It really helps us get the message out there of spreading kindness. Now, without further ado, please enjoy the first AOK of 2024, the amazing Aryan Simhadri. Happy New Year to start off.
Happy New Year, man. Excited to be here.
I'm so excited to have you. I mean, first question that comes to mind that I feel like I need to ask or the people will scream at me is, do you have a resolution? Is there something we're starting this New Year off with?
Make more time for people that I want to hang out with. I think, I kind of get lost, like procrastinating and things you got to do. That kind of stops you from seeing the people you really want to see. I just kind of get my work out of the way so I can hang out with my friends.
I love that. Thanks for making the time for me. I feel special.
Of course. Thank you for making the time for me.
Well, you know, one resolution that folks listening out there can make if they haven't already is to tune into Percy Jackson and the Olympians. Yeah. I'm just saying, you know, I'm sure you've been getting so much love for this show already. And one of the first questions I love to ask guests, because I think it has a lot to do with kindness, is how are you at taking compliments? How are you at receiving them? Do you feel like you're good at it? Okay.
Very poor. I just think all actors are at this point. I also come from like my mother and my father are very very Indian in the sense that every compliment is kind of received as like a note. Like I don't really think of compliments as just like, oh, thanks. I'm like, okay, got, like duly noted. I'll like it's something to like analyze or dissect. Yeah, just trying to stop doing that.
But I mean, especially for this show, which already has such a loyal fan base. I mean, there's been different iterations in the books. I mean, I grew up reading the books. I'm such a fan of them. I'm sure when you get those compliments, it means even more because you know these people are just so invested in this world, right?
My God, yeah. I grew up with the books. So I'm a huge fan of like that entire Percy Jackson world and Heroes of Olympus too. So I wanted to make something. Walker said it in a interview earlier that kind of perfectly sums it up. We want to make something that we're all proud of, something that we can actually watch as fans of the show, and I'm proud of it. And that's kind of the people that I cared most about, like their opinion, they all like the show, and that's good enough for me. So I'm just glad I made something that they liked.
Well, it's so much fun. I have to catch up, but we were watching it and I was loving it. I mean, it's also so much better already to do this story now because, I mean, these special effects are just like seamless. I mean, you've got a bottom half that's a goat and it looks so realistic and your little horns. And I was reading all about that and I can't wait to get into it. But before we get there, we're also here today to talk about kindness. And I'd love to know to kind of unlock the door to today's conversation. If you could just please give me your definition of kindness, what do you think it means to you?
Kindness. I think just going out of your way to do something. Like you ever hear that thing where it's like, oh, you're like polite, but not kind, kind, but not polite. Mm-hmm. I think kindness is like just going out of your way to do something. Something nice, not like going out of your way to
trip someone.
Which I've done my fair share of, but
listen, come on. I mean, if it's into a pile of chocolate or something, that's fine with me.
Exactly. You can,
yeah.
Yeah, I think just because it's easy to like say stuff, but going out of your way to do something is kind of something in and of itself. So yeah, I think that's my definition.
I love that. And I love the simplicity of it because I work with this nonprofit called kindness.org, shout out. And they literally define kindness by the ABCs, which is, I hope I don't butcher this, an action that benefits someone else and costs you something. So that's pretty much exactly what you just said. And I think it's spot on, you know, looking at your career and I guess your journey so far, do you have an act of kindness or something that stands out to you can share that you feel like kind of led you to this amazing part that you've landed?
Yeah. So I was in New York for a job when I actually got the audition for this. And I met two people who I'm now very fortunate to call dear friends. And they have been so supportive. And they're actors as well. Far more talented. They are so incredible. And I've learned so much from them. And through one of them, I actually worked with one of their acting coaches and he read the other part for me in my audition for Grover.
Oh.
And so without him and his wife, I definitely would not be here. So just that entire group, I'm very fortunate for.
We need a good reader, right? That was one of the reasons I got married. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah. I love my mom. She's been doing a great job for like 10, 11 years now, but you know, it's nice to have someone who's Who does that for a living?
I love. Does your mom get super into it? Is she like giving you notes or taking on the characters? I know my dad has done that quite a bit.
She's big into the coaching part of it.
Okay.
Less so for the. I get really like passionate about like knowing your lines.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel so bad. So like whenever she takes like a big like gap between her and my line, I'll just be like, what? We've spent like 40 minutes talking about this self-tape. So now she knows like to come to like come prepared, which is something that I'm again, very, very grateful for.
That's amazing. You're like, take the air out of it, mom. Come on. We got to pick up the
pace. Come on, pick up the pace, mom. Like,
well, you've been doing something right in your self-tapes because, you know, just looking at your career so far, you've done so many amazing projects that I've even seen you in. I mean, to fly over, you've worked with people like Zach Braff and Gabrielle Union and Deborah Messing, just to name a few. Is there, I wonder, a lesson or something so far that you've learned from these industry leaders you've worked with that you've kind of taken to heart? I'm sure there were many, but maybe one that sticks with you.
It's a very good question. I'm sorry. I'm just trying to think of like the best.
No, take your time.
So I just want to like do the question justice with like a good answer, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, there's been so many. I think, well, as you mentioned, Zach Braff and Gabrielle Union from working on Cheaper by the Dozen, I learned so much from the two of them, but I also learned so much from all of my other like guest stars and co-stars. They were around the same age I was, only a little bit older. And seeing kids my age that professional and that talented, I mean, that was, I definitely picked up a lot from them. And I mean, as for Zach and Gabriel, just like getting to watch them act was, you know, a lessons in and of themselves. So that was kind of like an opportunity of a lifetime.
And that was Cheaper by the Dozen for everyone listening. Go check that out as well. Also on Disney Plus, we got a Mickey Mouse over here, which is really special.
Yeah.
Actually, one thing that popped into my head, I was going to ask you this later on, because obviously it's true with Percy Jackson as well. But have you noticed anything different or, I guess, for lack of a better word, although I love this word, magical about working with Disney? Do you feel like the sets are extra positive? Have you just noticed anything overall?
Yeah, I mean, I want to say this in a way that won't like get me immediately fired.
No, we don't want that.
Yeah. No, they're just like such, they're not a corporation. You know what I mean? Like it's crazy to think of like, oh, like a Disney job. Like I'm just gonna, you know, like work my life away these you know, few months, but they're so kind about everything. And especially for Percy Jackson, I don't know, just like all of the Disney stuff I've worked on, which has been quite a lot. All of them, I've made like my best friends from those sets, and they just hire like the best people.
Yeah, and I think it all starts with the people. That makes sense. I love that. Well, speaking of the people, you're a people, you're a person, and
yes.
Just to have a weird transition. You're like, no, I'm not. I'm actually part goat. Listen, we don't know.
Yeah,
you're all goat. When you're working on set, you know, especially with long hours, I guess, how do you show yourself kindness? And even not on set, do you have favorite ways to kind of show yourself love?
Yeah, my dad wakes up really early. And so like during the strike or whenever I'm not acting, I try and get up like with him because he kind of does his own thing in the mornings, but he gets up at like 4 or 5. And I've found that like waking up that early, like no one else is awake. And it's just such a great feeling. Like you're the only person up.
Yeah.
At least just, you know, in your household. And as for like working, just going out with my castmates, I'm very fortunate to have like to work in an incredible cast, and they're also like tons of fun offset. So I just like hanging out with them.
That's awesome. I've been seeing people everywhere shipping y'all as, you know, best friends in real life too. And it seems like you guys are all really friends off screen. Although he's cutting his throat. He's like, no, and that's, let's cut that out.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. You know, sometimes kindness is cutting people out of your life. And I'm glad we could figure that out today.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
Well, you know, I guess getting into Percy Jackson land, we're here, you know, to start. We have a lot of actors that listen to the podcast, and you talked a little bit about self-taping before. you know, I'd love to learn more about your audition process, because I think I read that at first you didn't think you were a fit. And so you kind of were brushing it off.
I don't know. It's just like Grover is such an iconic role. He was my favorite character in the book series.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I didn't really, you know, I kind of mythologized the role, or just like put it up on a pedestal. And I was like, I don't know, this is probably the for someone else. Cause I also had just started working like very seriously in these past 2-3 years. And so I was still trying to kind of like figure out like where I was acting wise. And so getting this kind of role was intense. Like, this is 100% the biggest thing I've ever gone out for or worked on. So yeah, I don't know. You just kind of don't, like, you don't assume that that's the role for you, like, right away, you know?
Well, I guess right there with it being sort of the biggest thing you've done, do you feel more pressure too on the opposite end? Like, are you struggling at all with that? And I guess, how are you navigating that? Because I think that's a common thing for actors, no matter what the level, I guess, is there's pressures between balancing your personal life and all that kind of stuff.
I think I've said this before, but I think Percy Jackson has like the best fan base. Like, we have the best generation of fans, where it's not like, I've seen like fans for some stuff where it's like die hard reverential, you know what I mean? Where it's just like worshiping or like putting actors up on a pedestal, which is, you know, not great for anybody. And then I've also seen fan bases that are like way too comfortable, like like a little too, I guess, friendly with their, you know, some of the actors. And we kind of have like the best balance, where it's every fan I've talked to thus far feels like a friend, but not like overly pushy. You know what I mean?
That's good. No, I know what you mean. That's the perfect way to put it. I mean, especially with social media, everybody kind of has access now to everybody to a certain extent. And so you can see it right in the comment sections, you know? Exactly. And I think that's a healthy perspective on it. And, you know, it's interesting because Grover, like you said, he is such an iconic character and he's considered the heart of the story, you know? So I don't know if you even thought about this. Apparently it just comes natural to you because everyone was saying that your kindness and all this stuff was shining through in the audition process and everything of that nature. But how did you go about bringing Grover to life? Did you have like something you knew you wanted to do right away? Did you just dive back into the books? What was your process?
I did dive back into the books. I read them once before, I think, one of my director calls. Mm-hmm. And then once before the chemistry read, I was taking an exam up in Los Angeles. And so we had booked a hotel up there just to like stay there and kind of get everything at once, because the chemistry read was the next day. My mom walked in with a brand new box set of Percy Jackson, which is still over like on my bookshelf. She's like, you're reading these tonight. And I blitzed through them all in one sitting. And something that I also talked about with my acting coach a lot was our acting coach, Andrew, on set. He's the best. I love him so much. We owe so much of the show to him. Was that Grover is his own person. He's on his own quest. He has his own things to prove, which I think is kind of easy to forget. You can kind of just think of him as like the goofy sidekick or like the mediator. You know what I mean? So that's something I definitely wanted to stand out.
And while you were saying that too, I mean, how cool is it now that people are going to maybe dive back into the books after watching the show and then picture you while they read it? Is that crazy?
That's an insane thing to think about. Every time, Walker has said this before too, but every time I like open up Chalice of the Gods, because I have a signed copy from Rick, and so I'm always just like reading through it. I just like stare at that opening page for like 10 or 15 seconds, the one with like our dedication in it. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Like that he dedicated his book to the three of us. That's pretty cool.
Well, you can tell he loves you all. I mean, just the way he speaks about everyone. I mean, specifically you too, the quotes he's put out there about you are just so lovely. You know, I guess looking at him, what's something you've learned from him? Do you feel like there's a lesson you've taken away, not only from his writing and his stories, but just him as a person?
He's the nicest person. The only way I can describe it is like he walked across the studio. We have quite a large like production office, because it's a long ways from like our school room to the volume stage. And so in between that is just a long hallway of like where everyone kind of camps out. And he walked all the way from his office in there across the studio to our schoolroom to hand deliver me a set of signed books. And then he apologized for doing that because he was interrupting my schoolwork. That's the nicest thing anyone has ever done. Like, that was so cool. Like, he apologized for giving me a signed set of, like, my favorite book series ever.
That he wrote. 10 out of 10. That's wild. Oh my gosh. I love that. And I loved reading before shooting. I think you had 2 months of preparation in getting to know each other as a cast and you know, an ensemble, which is really rare. I mean, I feel like that's not always the case. But talk to me about one thing that stands out, which is learning to walk like a goat. I mean, I think that's not always the case either with the team that worked on Jurassic Park. Is that, did I?
Yes.
Make that up?
Yeah. So the guy that they brought on, you really did your research. That's so cool.
I'm excited.
The guy that they brought on, Rod Francham, this is his job. So like, he'll help people in like you said, Jurassic Park or stuff like that, walk like creatures. He's like a creature actor. He worked on Thor and he worked on, I'm so sorry, Lord of the Rings.
Wow.
Yeah, he worked on that and he helped like Gollum figure out.
Gollum, yeah.
Yeah, it was sick. Yeah, they brought him in and he was the best. He taught me how to walk like a goat, and he would like bring Walker and Leah in too to do like movement exercises, just like general ones. And then he would let them stay and like learn how to walk like a goat if they wanted. And it was... Yeah, he kind of walked me through like how a goat's like leg is built. It was great.
Well, I mean, it was very relatable as an actor in reading, just on, you know, things I've done with theater things, not breaking the goat in real life. I found that with my physicality, when you're in a character and then you go to the store, the movies, you suddenly realize you're standing a certain way. You're still walking like a goat. I love seeing that too. I think that's probably a little hilarious.
Yeah, it's honestly a little scary because now I can't stop doing it.
Yeah.
Even on the press tour, I was talking to Walker about this and he pointed out that I still do it like subtly. Like I walk very directly and like I fall every time I step. And that's something he pointed out. And he's like, you're still doing it. And I was well aware.
But hopefully there's some benefits to that. Maybe you're getting even crazier calves, or your toes are just going to be jacked. I don't know. I think that's pretty exciting. Well, Rick is also quoted as saying, I think, that Grover's superpower is his empathy, which I think is perfect for this podcast. Do you have, an act of empathy or kindness that you can share from set? You sort of shared one with Rick, but maybe like a positive story that you have from filming with your cast. I know you guys like make fun of and poke fun at each other all the time, so this could be a serious moment.
Yeah, I don't know. There's so many. Aside from just, you know, getting to work with, you know, such an incredibly talented cast, I think the biggest thing is how dedicated everyone is, especially Walker, because I work with him the most. I spend the most time on him, like with him on screen. Leah too, but like everyone does. But so just because of how much time I spend with Walker on screen, he is so dedicated to like his role. He's willing to do whatever it takes to get like the perfect shot. And I think Dan, our producer, was talking about this, where instead of like wanting to split it out into a bunch of different days or like get out of the like get dry and then film a wet scene and then get dry and film a wet scene, he just wanted to stay underwater in this big tank that they had built for all of the kind of underwater scenes. They blasted those out in a couple of days. He wanted to stay underwater as long as he could, just so he could get used to it and for it to feel natural and not like he was just like hopping into a pool.
Wow. That's so cool.
No, right?
Yeah.
Like run around in the pool and like ask for the breather. And he got his junior diver's license. He's incredible.
That's amazing. That's like all the behind the scenes stuff on the recent Avatar, you know, that they were training the Navy SEALs to stay underwater.
Yeah, Leah too. I mean, she had a bunch of underwater stuff with Walker. And she swam so much that she lost her hearing in like one ear. Like she got like swimmer's ear or something.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, she still just like powered through it.
That's wild. Well, I guess on a different note, do you have any funny stories? I know that you've shared like some bloopers and behind the scenes stuff, but do you have any more that you would love to kind of grace us with. I just think those are the best, like mishaps, giggles.
They're awesome. I'm trying to think of stuff that I haven't talked about before.
I know I read one about like the train thing and
the train scene.
but it's okay if you have
kicking the Coke can and eating it on the pavement in front of everybody.
And he wasn't even walking like a goat.
He wasn't even walking like a goat. He had no excuses. I talked about this briefly before, but for rap, they plugged in Mario Kart to the volume stage, and all of us just sat in the like Olympus thrones because that was the last stage that they had set up, and so they hadn't taken all of it out yet, and so we had the big three like chairs. So Leah sat in the middle, and then me and Walker sat on either side, and we just played Mario Kart for like an hour on the volume stage. It was like some of the most fun I've had filming, for sure.
That's so cool. Well, speaking of the rap, you know, are you someone who like secretly takes something home with you?
I wouldn't say secretly, and I wouldn't say like one thing.
Okay.
I took a lot of stuff from, we all did.
I like that.
Actually, I did a morning show today, and for that, I wore the Hermes shoes that he gets in episode 3. I took the original ones. I took a pair from set and I wear them all the time. And I have Riptide and his shield sitting on my windowsill.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
And they sent me like a bunch of staffs too. So I have a staff with like a goat head, like a wooden staff with a goat head carved into the headpiece. It's sick.
Wow. Yeah, that's sweet. Well, I mean, you know, hopefully if you guys come back, you'll have to maybe return some of that stuff. I don't know. But nope. They can make new ones.
Yeah, they'll get new ones.
He's got the budget. Well, any scenes like from the books you're dying to do or you'd really love to do? Is there a certain future scene?
I've talked about this extensively, but I just want to, like, any chance I'll get, I want to talk about it. Dior is so good as Clarice. She's like a force of nature. Like, she's incredible. And the scene from the books that I'm looking forward to getting adapted the most is the one where she kills the Drakon after Selena dies. That was already one of my favorite books. One of my favorite scenes in the book. But just imagining her as that, her like screaming on top of like a huge dragon, like, bring me Kronos. That's going to be incredible. Like, that gives me chills every time I read it. And I'm really looking forward to seeing her adapt that.
That's so exciting. Well, how was it, I guess, I didn't ask you this, but how was it working against a lot of like CGI and effects? Did you find, I know you said that once you officially saw yourself on screen with everything all done, you're like, wow, it looks really good.
I think the most difficult one was probably the Chimera, because the Minotaur, he's, you know, kind of in the rain and I don't like fight him. I didn't really have to, for like the horn in the car and stuff, they just like built a horn. So I could kind of, it was easier for me to imagine the Minotaur, but for the Chimera, I watch it kind of stalk the halls of the arch and I see it kind of like blow up the arch. And so that was, I think, the trickiest one. But again, our acting coach, Andrew, he would print out a bunch of photos from like Greek mythology and kind of paste them up on our walls. So because of him, it was a lot easier to imagine.
That's awesome. Did he have a certain method or anything that he worked with?
He just kind of did anything and everything.
He's
so passionate and dedicated to getting like the best take. He was like the perfect balance. He would push us as far as he could. And then once the take was done, he's like, you got it. You were brilliant. Don't ever think about it again.
Mm.
And he would, without fail, help us like dissect a scene 3 weeks before we would shoot it. So we were constantly like, we were never caught off guard by anything.
I think that's amazing. And I love that a lot of acting coaches say, just to bring it back to kindness, of course, is, you know, make the positive choice. I mean, no matter what your character is, you're making a positive choice. Even if you are striking someone with their own horn, you know, it's to save your mom or something like that. So I think that's a,
it's just like, why do any of these things? It's for, you know, it's to protect someone.
Yeah. And you're the ultimate protector in this show. And in life, I think we also try to make these positive choices. I know I don't have much more time with you, so I would love to know if you have a tangible kindness tip or wellness tip even that you think listeners could take and incorporate into their daily life. So something specific, one people have said on here a bunch is, you know, smiling at people when you see them on the street, something kind of tangible and different you like to do.
I think just something I try to do. I talk a lot. I'm sure you can tell, but I hate talking over people. Sorry. I hate talking.
No, Zoom is the worst for it. See, I just did it now.
Right? It's so bad.
Yeah, it's Zoom. It's not you.
I was, sorry, this is a side tangent. I was doing an interview with Paul. Kept talking over each other. And it was infuriating.
Yeah, it feels awkward even though it's no one's fault. You're like,
yeah. You're like, I have to apologize? Yeah. I want to? Yeah, just making sure people are heard, I think, is the biggest thing. Like, if someone's saying something and then they get cut off, just what do they want us to, like, I don't know. I think it's really interesting to, like, hear what people have to say. And if it was something really cool, then, you know, you're getting insight that you wouldn't have if you just kind of let that thought die out.
Yeah. And with acting, too, I think if you're not actively listening, you're probably thinking about your next choice and yourself or whatever it is. And then it's probably not going to be a great take or whatever, because you're just caught up in your own head. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I think that's great advice. Listening, you can't go wrong with that, especially in this new year. As we go on, I wish you all the best and I can't wait to see the rest of this show. Everybody watch. Oh. See, I just talked over you. What did you say?
Oh, I was just saying, thank you so much. Sorry.
The crazy thing too, is I'm like getting manic because I had a lot of candy before this. The crazy thing too, is with Zoom, when you go back and listen, then it's like the interviewee is muted because I was talking over them. And then it's like, oh, I didn't hear their answer. It's a whole crazy thing.
And then there's just like a weird, awkward silence where you're both trying to figure out if you talked over the other person.
Yeah. And then you're like, what's going on? I don't know. But I do know that I think you're awesome. And I'm so glad we got to share some time together. Congratulations.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
That was the silence because we both weren't sure who's going to talk.
Yes. Yeah.
No, this was awesome. Thank you so much. It was great to meet you.
Yeah, likewise, man. Thank you for having me. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Best of luck.
Thank you.
Bye.
And now it's time for your kindness tip of the week.
My kitchen sink hates me. When I flip on the faucet, water sprays everywhere. I'm talking on my face, my chest. It even reaches my little toe beans. Oh. It's like the faucet is auditioning for a Splash remake directed by me, or desperately dreams of being a shower. Or maybe my sink is just some sort of water ninja. I don't know. My sink stinks. However, at the start of 2024, this all stopped. I rinsed my hands after doing the dishes. Hold your applause. Thank you. Thank you. And only my hands were washed. What a concept. Perhaps my sink slasher made a resolution to give up attacking me? Then I realized something. Yes, I think there's a kindness tip in here somewhere. The faucet spout perhaps held back its wrath because I didn't hastily flip its lever. Instead, I actually took a beat to slowly shift the lever to a setting somewhere in the middle, providing a more balanced drip. Okay, I know. Why am I going off about faucets on the Art of Kindness podcast? Well, I think it says something about life and kindness. That hand wash reminded me how taking the extra time to do something with intention leads to better results. If I only want to wash my hands and not take a surprise shower in the middle of my kitchen, odd, I know. I have to intentionally push that silver lever to its sweet spot. Setting aside that extra sud of precious time at the kitchen sink is the anecdote to how I'd like to move through this fast-paced world. So, I'm recording this as a self-reminder, really, to move through life with intention. That's the kindness tip. This way, you can have more peace in your life. I think slowing down is underrated in this fast-paced world, you know? And also, by doing this, I can shower on my own terms. So as we enter this new year and everyone is telling you that you need to sign up for the gym, you need to get your resolutions started ASAP, remember, it's okay to start a little slower. What is it? The rabbit and the hare, slow and steady, that wins the race. That said, I might be doing a little slow and steady intro back into the podcast. I'm not sure if we'll be doing weekly, every other week. I'll try my best. Either way, I cannot wait to share the audio space with you again. Thank you, as always, for tuning in. Happy New Year. And until next time, please remember, everything is going to be A-OK.
Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the RISE Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheater.org. That's theater with an RISETHEATRE.org, because only together we rise.